Lecture 10, Christianity and Politics.
In the last presentation, we saw how Christianity, despite its ideal of unity, has, from the beginning, experienced internal dissension, and now appears in the early 21st century in an almost bewildering variety of groups, not only differing on many points, but until very recently, positively hostile to each other, each claiming exclusive possession of the truth. In this presentation, I want to examine another paradox of the Christian religion, a tradition that proclaimed a crucified Messiah who gave power to others through powerlessness, and a tradition that proclaimed a Messiah who was the Prince of Peace, found itself enmeshed in patterns of power and politics, and even of violence over its long history. Our topic in this presentation is Christianity in the World, Religion and Politics. This is one reason why Christianity is so difficult to appreciate in strictly religious terms. For much of its existence, it has been deeply involved in politics and in culture. And this is one of many of Christianity's paradoxes. It began life as a sect of Judaism that itself met resistance and persecution. Jesus was a Jewish preacher who was executed under Roman authority, Pontius Pilate, the prefect of Palestine, as a messianic pretender, that is, as a political figure. The titulus, the title on the cross, read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. So at least in the eyes of Rome, one of the problems with Jesus was that he was meddling in politics. Paul himself, earlier in his life, a persecutor of this early Christian movement, was himself imprisoned repeatedly under Roman authority and was finally executed. Indeed, by the year 70, virtually all the major leaders of the movement had met a violent end at the hands of Rome. And throughout the first three centuries of Christianity, the tradition of martyrdom and the tradition of writing apologetic literature testifies to its political powerlessness and to the fact that the political order found it dangerous and needing extirpation. Now, as I tried to show in an earlier lecture on Christian morality, this minority and persecuted status of early Christianity ill prepared it to become the religion of an empire. And this is in sharp contrast to both Judaism and Islam. In Judaism, Torah was, from the beginning, intended to shape a society, Jewish society. Likewise, in Islam, the Sharia was intended from the beginning to create an entire society governed under the prophet's revelation of the will of Allah. Christians, from the beginning, had no concern except the shaping of their tiny and persecuted communities. Their horizons hardly even were raised to the level of the household in terms of ethics, and they had no vision of how society should be run as a whole. If we look at the New Testament and simply look at what the New Testament recommends in terms of an attitude toward the Roman Empire, we see that in Romans 13 and in 1 Peter 3, the Roman Empire is regarded in entirely positive terms. Everybody should obey the emperor because the emperor is a good guy. But if we look at the book of Revelation, we see that the empire is regarded as a destructive and enslaving force that Christians should resist by their worship of the only King of Kings, who is Jesus Christ. The New Testament is not a guidebook for the running of a Christian civilization. So when we come to the year 313, which is the great divide in the history of Christianity,